On today's episode of Crossfire Faith and Gaming, the podcast, we are going to talk about age ratings, which is to say we're going to talk about what we feel and how we have come to know and love and sometimes not love so much those ratings you find on games, whether it's PEGI 13 or 16, whether it's M or whether it's E for everyone, like the name of our summer camp was last year. joined by my host, Russ Dornish, who's our creative director. My name is Reverend David Petty, founder and pastor of Crossfire Faith and Gaming. So, Russ, tell me, what are your thoughts on game ratings?
Yeah, so obviously, ESRB and game ratings, very important topic, especially as a Christian podcast, but as a gaming podcast as a whole. They are what really got developed, and remind me, Dave, because you've looked into this a little bit, you can tell me whether or not it's true. Did ESRB come after the MPAA movie ratings? So they had like a guideline or something to go off of?
You know, I actually do not remember. I will have to okay. Look into this.
My assumption is they came after and they kind of used that as like a jumping off point when all that happened. You and I were kind of going through some of the history of the ESRB, and I remembered that the big reason the ESRB even came to exist was because of the release of one of the most popular video games in the 90s, Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat, of course, one of the first games to have blood in it. People thought it was very realistic. You had your fatalities in the game. And that caused a big uproar, of course, in Congress and the government, saying that, you know, it was going to mush the brains of children and, you know, corrupt them and all right. That wonderful stuff. So, you know, let's ban them. And instead of banning them, the gaming industry did what most industries do. And they did smart by creating the ESRB and actually rating games and putting age limits on it, just like you see in the movies. So, you know, you have your different age ratings. You have your ratings. They have different versions of the E rating. You have T for teen, M for mature, and then of course the rating that has very rarely ever been used, the adult rating, which does not allow anyone under the age of 18 to play that game, whereas the M rating is anybody over the age of 17 can play the game and purchase it. So a little bit different there. But yeah, we haven't seen too many of the adults. I mean, overall, it's an important thing. I think especially if you're a parent or somebody just trying to find out more about gaming and the game ratings and all that, it's very important to pay attention and find out more about it so that you understand, okay, what are some good games to play my kids to play? They're going to try and play all the popular games. Probably the most popular games in the world at any given time are most likely rated M for mature. Now, the reasoning for why they're rated M for mature varies from game to game, just like it does for movies. So you need to be very cognizant and aware and understand what each rating means and what you should do as far as the decisions go. Now, Dave, what you have a little bit of a different perspective from it. Sure. What is your
overall? I did pull up the history. So
okay.
Let me fill in on the history real quick before I get into that part. I did find out, interestingly enough, it says the PG-13 rating came out in, I believe, June or July. Let me pull it back up again. July 1st, 1984.
Okay.
Right? So that's when PG-13 came out. 10 years later, the ESRB started to become a thing. So it was actually quite a long time at first when I read these, being that it's 84 and 94, I thought, oh, well, it was the same summer. And I thought it was both in 84. No, I guess that would not make sense, as most of the games like Mortal Kombat and Doom hadn't even been released yet. Fascinating that it took them that long to really get into rating games, being that movie ratings existed for so long. But Russ, what was the question you were going to ask me?
Well, no, to piggyback on that, I think the biggest reason we didn't see it come to fruition before then, if you remember what games looked like early 90s, 80s, I mean, you had your Sprite games, you had your
Asteroids,
you know, Donkey Kong and Mario, Pong. Super Mario Brothers and Pong and Centipede and Pac-Man. Like, they weren't games that people thought, oh, that's really realistic. People are starting to do things that they shouldn't in real life. Like, nobody's
relatively innocent.
Exactly. So I think that's the biggest thing. So Dave, you know, now we know a little bit about the history of when it established. What has been your experience from it? Both maybe as a kid, we can start there. And then now as an adult and a parent.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I think the first interaction that I had with the concept of games, not even necessarily a rating with them, right? But games and their appropriateness, I will say, when I was a kid and Doom came out, right? Everybody wanted to play Doom. It was the hot game. My parents wouldn't let me play Doom because it was not appropriate. Sometimes I would get to play Doom if I was over at my uncle's house, or I could play over at a friend's house, but was not allowed to play Doom at home. So that was really the first kind of interaction that I had with games, ratings, and appropriateness. And then as time went on, you know, I think I remember that when I got Tomb Raider or Tomb Raider 2, it was rated probably T for teen, which, you know, was okay. And then I was mostly like in that age rating where as game ratings became more and more, I don't know, like I guess I wasn't exposed to a lot of M-rated games as a young person. So it wasn't so much of an issue for me other than some of those games, the shooter games that were out there like that. You know, I wasn't out there playing. The other thing I'm guessing maybe on PC, there just weren't as many more mature titles that I knew of as there were on PlayStation and Xbox that were kind of the main, you know, main titles.
Yeah, I going back and thinking about my childhood, I don't think there really was a push for mature games until probably closer to the 2000s. Again, I'm assuming that had to do with as games improved and they were able to have more items within them. You know, I think it became more of the norm, because I feel like nowadays a majority of games that come out are rated M for mature, or at least rated T for teen at minimum. You know, if it's E for everyone, it's a sports game or it's a kids game at this point. And so, you know, when you know that, like us growing up in the early stages of the ESRB, in the early stages of the gaming industry, we didn't have to deal with a lot of that. Until probably the late 90s, early 2000s. My earliest experience and memories of that would have to obviously be the Grand Theft Auto series, the original Grand Theft Auto series. I'm talking about 1, 2, you know, those ones.
Yes, yeah. Down. Yeah, yeah.
I remember playing those when I probably shouldn't have been, because, you know, friend loaned me those games. I went and played. Parents have no idea that I'm playing that game or what's going on. And that was just the way it was. And so that was probably my earliest experience with that in particular. But then as growing up, like, and I'll be honest, because I think we come at this from two different perspectives as well. You know, my perspective came from, for the most part, my parents did not stop me from playing any particular games. You know, at a very young age, I was playing all the Grand Theft Auto games. You know, my parents were buying me those games and, you know, some of the other shooter games and anything that was really popular. I don't ever remember one of my parents saying, no, you can't have that because you're not old enough. But I went through it. It didn't affect me as much, but I also think that it varies obviously by person, kid by kid, understanding all that knowledge, understanding what's going on. You know, I feel like I turned out okay. But you know, that's for other right. people to determine. You know, Dave, what about you as you grow up and now obviously as a parent, like what are your thoughts on how the game ratings kind of affect that and what it should be done?
Yeah, I was going to say, I had to go back and look, and I was thinking, you know, GoldenEye, right? Like 007, oh, yeah. The game that we all played. I thought, well, surely that had to be M because you're shooting people. And no, I pulled it up. It's rated T for teen, right? Yeah. So, you know, so I think that was the other thing, was like, there just weren't as many M-rated games that we were exposed to, but you're right. I think the Grand Theft Auto series, probably some of the, there were some fighting games that may have been rated, like Mortal Kombat is a great example. But even then they weren't very realistic in, their portrayals, even, you know, the more realistic and thinking like Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2, it was the subject matter more so than the realism of the violence, because you're dealing with like top down, you know, pixel sprites of some guy stealing cars and shooting people. And so, it was really more the content that was, you're playing as this person who's committing lots of crimes and joining gangs. And, you know, that just goes really deep, really fast.
Yeah.
So for me, it was definitely not as much of an issue. now I think as a parent, I've had to be really more granular in what I care about than the game ratings allow for, if this makes sense. So, and the same thing is true for movies, right? You know, you look at some movies and you say, okay, well, this is PG-13. And we've talked about this before, I think, that you look at a movie like The Batman that came out, you know, recently. The Batman is PG-13, but it's really dark. It's very gritty. And so depending on the maturity of your 13-year-old, that might be a little bit too intense for them, or it might be just fine. And I think we've talked about that concept too, that you really have to be careful what it is that you're engaging with, depending on what your level of ability to process that is. And we've talked about certainly if games like The Last of Us, The Last of Us Part Two, I'm like, look, I was 35 when I played The Last of Us Part Two, and it affected me really hard and should come with all sorts of warnings. You know, like warning, do not play this game if you're human, because it will affect you in ways that you can't even describe. But as a parent, I have to look at things like, okay, do I care if there's blood? Well, I don't know. Is it gore or is it just blood? One game that I interacted with early on was a hunting game called Hunter Call of the Wild that was rated M for mature on PC because of the presence of blood. The only blood you see is deer blood when you shoot the deer, and it's a splotch of blood. It doesn't even actively bleed, right? You shoot the deer, it falls down, you go over later and there's a splotch of blood on the ground, and then you follow the little blood trails, which is, when you shoot an animal, it bleeds. That didn't feel like a mature thing to me, but then come to find out that game on PlayStation was actually rated T for teen. So you have to look at like, well, what is this game rated? Why is it rated this way? So one place I've actually found more helpful than the ESRB or the Games Rating Authority in the UK is a website, Common Sense Media. Mm-hmm. And they get down to details on, okay, are there portrayals of positive role models in this game? Does this game have good messages? So like I just pull up Disney Dreamlight Valley, right? And it says this has positive messages, it has positive role models, it's easy to play, it has diverse representations, obviously does not contain any sex or nudity, and does contain occasional mild peril and mysterious music throughout. So like, okay, my kid, 5 years old, could easily play this. Maybe three is too young, but you know. So you pull up a game like that and you say, okay, is this appropriate? And then I love too that it's got a space for what do kids say about this? What do parents say about this? Right? Maybe parents are overprotective. They say, no, this is a game for five and up. And maybe kids are like, yeah, you could play this game at three. Who knows? Yeah. Vice versa. There's a lot of games sometimes you say, well, kids say 17 and up, or no, kids say 10 and up, right? Kids think this is fine for kids that are 10. And adults say, no, you really should be 15 to play this game because of whatever. So I really like the ability to break it down more granular to that. But I'm also curious, like, what modern day kids think about today's game rating system. So
that's interesting you should say that. I mean, it'd be really nice if we had a kid to have opinion.
There was some kid somewhere nearby that I could like call. Like, do you know any children, like real live children we could
ask? I'm all out of them here.
Okay. I'm wondering like maybe I can call up a kid that I know who's actually a trained podcaster from her time in Girl Scouts. I'm going to call up my own Rachel, who's here as a Girl Scout media star. Not to talk to us about Girl Scout cookies, though. I'm sure we would all love some Girl Scout cookies, but instead to talk to her about what do you think about the game rating? So let me get the camera over here. There she is. Rachel.
Hello.
So Rachel is a gamer. First off, why don't you tell us how old you are, roughly.
I am roughly 11.
And then tell us, what are some of your favorite games?
My favorite games are Minecraft, I like to play Minecraft, Gorilla Tag, and a game called Humanity. You're like a little dog guiding people.
Good. Yeah.
All right. All right. So Minecraft, Gorilla Tag, Humanity.
Yeah.
All right. So Russ, why don't you, I'll let you take over from here and you ask the questions.
I've got some good questions for her. Okay, Rachel. I know that your dad likes to help you kind of pick out what games. Does it sometimes get frustrating because you want to play a game, but your dad says no?
Not really.
No, you never want to play other more adult-like games?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Minecraft is always there.
Okay. Minecraft's the go-to. What about some Fortnite in there too as well? No, that's not.
I'm annoyed with all of the kids in my class talking about Fortnite. I mean, I used to play Fortnite, but then I played for like a week and then like just didn't like it.
Okay. Okay. When you get older, do you think are there any games that might eventually interest you? I know that your brother plays some of those games, your dad does, or do you kind of just stick to the puzzle games and, you know, those type of games that it sounds like you like?
I mean, eventually when I'm old enough, I would like to play The Last of Us because my dad said it's like really, really good.
Okay. Okay. That's a good one to start. It's going to be a while probably before you play it.
A long while.
Yes, probably a long while. Okay, when you were a lot younger, do you remember maybe some of the first ever games that you ever played? What was, and your dad can maybe help you answer this. What was the first ever console?
I will say, let me zoom out here. You can see both of us.
I think Switch or like... I think Switch or PS4 was the first ever console, maybe.
Yeah, we did have a Switch and a PS4.
Yeah,
I was also going to say, you know, the other thing might be that probably some of the first games that she played were actually like mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little fun, silly, you know, tap like, the barn and the cow goes moo.
Cut the rope.
Or cut the rope, yeah.
Oh, that one is like a personal favorite, like... Or like there's one with where you have to get water to a crocodile so he can take a shower or something.
Yeah. Yeah, those, I mean, it does. It sounds like you are very much into creative and puzzle type games. Humanity being a very good puzzle type game. Minecraft obviously being creative, so you're using your imagination there.
Unraveled.
Another great puzzle platformer.
I also like me and my dad platinumed
It Takes Two.
Yeah. No, those are
highly recommended.
Those are really, all really fun games. Game. What is your favorite part about playing games?
My favorite part about playing games is probably that you can just, like, express yourself, be creative, have fun.
Okay. Those are all very great things. Do you like interacting with your friends online, or do you prefer playing by yourself?
A little bit of both.
Okay. A little bit of both. I assume Minecraft with your friends?
Only when, like, I'm hanging out with them and they want to play Minecraft with me. Usually I play Minecraft by myself and, like, just build stuff.
The big, then, you know, $10,000 question is creative mode or survival mode?
Both.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
So personally, me and my dad are working on this huge survival world. And it, like... We have everything, like, we're next to a huge, like, cave, and the cave has a giant column in the middle, mm-hmm. and, like, I dug that out. It took me a long, long time, but I dug that out, and now it's, like, we have a house in the column, and we have a house on land. It's, like, crazy.
Okay. David, do you have any follow-up questions for Rachel that... pertains to the topic?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was looking at some of the games. Let me pull the camera over for anybody watching on YouTube. There we go. So I was looking at some of the games here that that Rachel has played, and you know, a lot of them really are younger games, right? Mm-hmm. Or games that are easily accessible to many ages. Bugsnax, Sackboy, Unravel. I was trying to remember what Humanity is rated. I think it's just T or E.
Yeah, I definitely think it's one of the two.
You know, I Am Bread, games like that. So, yeah, so really, really has not even, to my knowledge, you know, she personally has not shown a lot of interest in some of those older games. You know, she's not asking me, like, you know, Dad, can I play Call of Duty? Like, really want to go shoot things. But I don't know. Like, would you want to play Call of Duty? If I said, go to town, play any game you want to play, would there be any games you would want to play that you're currently not allowed to play?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Hey,
no.
Yeah, I know that. Hey. Okay. But I'm sure, Dave, you know, obviously having two kids in the house, your other child constantly wants to play games that he allowed to, I assume.
Yes, that is a good point. He definitely was one who showed a lot more interest at a young age. You know, hey, can I play Call of Duty? Hey, can I play? You know, and we've decided certain things are okay, certain things are not okay. And really, I think some of that is based on my knowledge growing up of, you know, people said video games cause violence, right? Like, violent video games cause violence. Well, I grew up playing violent video games, and I'm not a violent person in the least. I think violent people who enjoy violence are also attracted to violent video games, but it's not the violent video games that cause them to be violent. So when I look at that, I say, well, okay, so a game like Uncharted is a great example. Uncharted is a game that I think is rated T for teen, but you do shoot like 5,000 enemies, right? Like,
it's just
there's no shortage of people that you mow down throughout
the game. Nathan Drake is a serial killer at this point.
Right, right. So, you know, I look at that and I say, okay, so that's probably fine. But then a game like The Last of Us, that's a little bit more emotionally involved, like, and I have to make the assessment then, okay, does my kid have the emotional capacity to deal with the emotional things that this game is going to bring up?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
In an appropriate way. So just this last year, he now at 14, almost 15, we allowed him to play the first Last of Us, while we kind of watched it and played it with him. I still will not allow him to play the second Last of Us, because even though they're rated exactly the same, it's a totally different ballgame. So that's another place that I would say, as a parent, one of my biggest recommendations and advocacy points is to say, if possible, play the game or watch playthroughs of the game that you're wondering if that's appropriate for your kid.
Absolutely.
Don't just give your kid a free blank check and say, hey, go buy and play whatever game you want. Go to town, you know, because then I hear about these kids who are like 10 years old playing Last of Us Part Two, and I'm going, no. It's just like, no. Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah, because I think you bring up a good point. I think that's the big thing that we can take away from this in the discussion is, obviously, you know yourself better, you know your family better than anybody else. And so I think when it really comes down to it, the ratings are there as a guide to just help you in the direction of where you need to go, but you do need to take the steps to understand it, to do whatever it is you need to do in order to feel comfortable about that. I think you're right in, you know, getting to experience it yourself. Don't just take people's word for it. Don't just take only the written things that are out there about it. You know, you can watch the game, you can play it yourself. I think that's what a great thing that we have nowadays is, you know, we're growing up in that gaming generation. You know, you and I grow up in a world where video games was a main thing, and we're now in a world where most adults play video games and most children are playing video games as a result. And you know, prior to that, our parents did not really play video games regularly. And so I think we were kind of in the in-between where our parents, I don't think, really knew what to do with it. And so the ratings, I think, became a very important thing to kind of bridge that gap. But nowadays, we have a lot more resources out there available to us. We have a lot more things that we can look at when it comes to that. And so it's just really important to kind of see that. So you can definitely see the impact that it's had on the industry. You know, it definitely helped. One, obviously, it stopped video games from being banned, which is probably the biggest reason that it was created for was, okay, let's stop the government and Congress and all that from thinking, oh, we've got to ban video games because it's terrible and it's, you know, manipulating the minds of our children and youth and all that fun stuff. But in turn, you know, I think it's just become a norm and a staple of the industry. And, you know, obviously, I think it's been an improvement for it. Do I think that we could look a little bit more deeper? Yes, but I also think that's where, like you said, things like Common Sense Media come into play. There's a lot of places out there that have kind of bridged that gap and now taken that. So you can see that evolution happening. I just wonder, you know, what are your thoughts as we're getting closer and closer to that ultra realism? And honestly, as we talk about The Last of Us Part Two, I think the biggest reason that we keep bringing that game up is because it is probably one of the most ultra realistic games that I have ever seen. They went for every step of the way. Like, I was watching the behind the scenes that they just released, and they did blood spatter tests and different things of like, okay, well, if this much blood left your body, how would it pour out of your body and, you know, run and pool alongside you? And so they were doing like tests with that to make it as realistic. You know, you have things in the game where, you know, parts of bodies are flying off and things. I mean, it is ultra realistic in what they do with that game. And like you said, and I will say this, going back to our conversation about The Last of Us Part Two, including the review, including our breakdown of it, I saw lots of comments that were like, oh, you're grown men. Why do you think, you know, why is that affecting you so much? Grow up, like you're such a baby. And it's like, that's not the point. The point is that, like, it still affects you. Like, it's a very ultra realistic game with a great story, with a story that gives you specific feelings, which is why I love it so much, is because I've never had that feeling with another video game.
I'd be concerned if you didn't feel those feelings.
Exactly. While playing so overall, I think, you know, I think you're right in that. I think we're also moving towards that. So as we move towards that, what do you think needs to potentially happen in the industry to really cover our basis as we get to more realism and realistic games here in the future?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I mean, you bring up ultra realism, which I think is problematic in some ways, in that it makes the game more visceral, right, and more tangible. But also, I think the ultra realism in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean that a game is going to be immediately one rating or another, right? Some interesting examples I'm thinking of, like Return of the Obra Dinn, which is a game that, you know, basically looks like it could be rendered on a DOS machine. And it's rated M, mature 17 for blood and gore and violence. It says partial nudity. I haven't played through it yet. So, you know, maybe that's it. Sometimes that's the thing that puts it over, you know, or like, you know, a certain number of F words or something like that.
Yeah.
But then I also think, you know, I've heard things like Undertale, that there's some things in there. And I think that's actually rated like E10 plus. But there's, my understanding is there's some parts of that game that you have to do some stuff, or there's a reveal about some stuff that you go, oh shoot, you know, this was harder. Oh no, it is rated T for teen. Yeah. So there's a game that, quite frankly, you know, looks like it should be, oh, that's interesting. It's E10 plus on Switch and might be T for teen on something else. So,
wow. Interesting.
But yeah, so I think those are interesting thoughts, that, you know, the ultra realism is bringing us closer to a place where blood, guts, and gore are more problematic. You know, you look back at something like Doom, and it's almost comic the fact that this game is rated so maturely because it's so pixelated. You know, but then, you know, it's more about the content than just about the realism.
No, definitely. So, as we kind of wrap up on this conversation, and we do appreciate Rachel joining us.
Yes,
and
thank you, Rachel.
Kid perspective on ratings and what they want to play and all of that stuff.
So, yeah. Thank you, Rachel, for being on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So yeah, as we summarize and kind of reflect on this, I think overall it plays its part. It's a really important role. I know a lot of people don't like it sometimes. I know there's a lot of kids out there that are like, you know, 15 and they want to go buy Grand Theft Auto. You know, and hopefully your parents are fine with buying it for you if that's truly what you want. But, you know, we're getting to that point. It's still important, just like movie ratings are important. It's important because most of all, I think it really just allows you to have a conversation with your kids. We should be using it as a tool. We should be using it as that opening conversation, opening line to have those hard, tough, deep diving questions and conversations that we can have with each other and just really understand where we're at. It's a really great tool, honestly, to help people understand different feelings and really mature as they grow older. And then, you know, as we are adults, those are things that we can reflect on. David, what are your final thoughts here as we wrap up?
Yeah, I think all art is a reflection of the human experience. Mm-hmm. And I think the best art is art that makes us think in new and different ways and with new and different perspectives about our human experience than we normally would. So I'm all for ways that we can engage with that, ways that we can explore new perspectives. And certainly the fact that art puts us in, gaming especially, puts us in the shoes of some perspectives we might not otherwise be able to be in. But I think because of that, we need to also be careful that we're ready to be in those shoes, that we're ready to experience those perspectives. And I think you're right. If you're a parent listening to this, I think it's a great opportunity for you to open some conversations for your kids and say, you know, what do we think about this? And yeah, if nothing else, check out Common Sense Media because they're a great resource.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. We appreciate you guys so much. Make sure to hit that like, comment, and subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're listening to this anywhere else that podcasts are located, make sure to give us a rating. You know, throw that 5-star in there. Let everybody know how good it is. That helps spread the word and get the algorithms working and flowing. That's why people ask for those things, because it does help others find it if they, you like it. And of course, down below, make Discord and check out our website at crossfirecast.com. We really appreciate you for joining us today. Thank you to David. Thank you to Rachel. And of course, thank you to our Patreon Silver supporter, Lonnie White. If you would like to become a Patreon Silver level supporter, you can go over to patreon.com/churchforgamers and subscribe. Hey, you can subscribe at $1 if you want, but if you want to do higher, we will give you a shout out here on all of our podcasts. So until next time, for my co-host, David, I'm Russ Dornish. You are loved. You matter. You belong. God bless. And we'll see you next time. Crossfire.